Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School, wherein we attempt through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God to show off God. Not a theology of man, certainly not my theology, but God's Word. And we've been teaching through the book of Colossians highlighting how many times Paul speaks of being in Christ, something not seen, as we've said so often. We live by faith, not by sight, but God's Word declares those who are trusting God, not for the things of this world, but the things that God has said, which do include things in this life, like provision, like health, like peace from God, certainly not in this chaotic world of today. But that we might have peace with God. I want to open this morning. We're teaching in the book of Colossians. But I want you to go to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm just going to read. 25th verse reads, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father." All, it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Listen, "and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whom soever the Son will reveal. If you're a Christian, if by the Word of God you have been encouraged to grab hold of His promises, because it has been revealed to you by the Son, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, understand from where it came." It came from God. Jesus says in another place that no man comes to the Father save the Spirit of God draw him. That means I didn't start the initiative. It means you didn't start the initiative. It means the initiative was with God. Jesus goes on to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is difficult to imagine any person in whom the Spirit of God dwells not to be heavy burdened with what he sees going on in this world today. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We're talking New Testament, folks. We're talking wherein the Old Testament is revealed, we're talking not the works of the law, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we ended last week in the third chapter of Colossians, and I'm hoping today to bring to a conclusion this series of teachings out of Colossians. Just a little bit of review. Third chapter opens, it says, "If then ye be risen with Christ," boy, you know, this old body is still here in this earth. But the Ephesian letter says, "Seated in heavenly," already seated in heavenly places in Christ. "If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." It's not an easy thing to do, but it is possible. Whereas, you know, keeping the law perfectly, perpetually, personally is impossible. We can set our affections on things above. And if we do, and when we do, I tell you, peace, cessation of againstness, will begin to reign in your hearts. And the rest that Christ promised will begin to be completed in you. Now, you know, I'm not trying to say that we have to be so heavenly minded that we don't see and have concern about the things that are going on in this world. Look, Jesus told us, Paul told us, the prophets told us, this world is going to end, be brought to an end in chaos, in war, in famine, in death. But Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Paul goes on to tell us in that third verse of chapter 3, for ye are dead. And we don't need to go into that part anymore. And your life is hid with Christ in God. He says, mortify, that is, consider these our members, which are upon the earth, consider them dead. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of, King James says, disobedience, apistis, no faith. In the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, which is renewed in the knowledge of Jesus. That created him. Listen, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ, all in all. Now, I'm not speaking to the world, folks. I'm speaking to those of you who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God our Father. I could expand on what Paul was saying, you know, where there's neither male nor female, where there's neither Baptist or Pentecostal or Church of God or neither denominations. You know, if ye be a Baptist and you go to heaven, it's not because you're a Baptist. It is because of the gift of faith and grace that God has given unto you. It has nothing to do with your choice of denomination. Nothing to do with being Catholic or Protestant. It has to do with the calling of God on your life, with the revelation of Christ to whomsoever he will, of what Christ did and of God, our Father of heaven and earth. There are many members of the body, but the head is Christ. Many members, but one body. Not circumcision, not Jew, not Greek, not barbarian, not Scythian, not bond, not slave or free. One body. And if all were an eye, where would the smelling And if all were an ear, where would the seeing? And one member cannot say, because you're not like me, you're not a member of the body. I just have a comment on current events. Quick comment. We're watching these anti-Israel protests take place in our universities across this nation. My pastor had a PhD in philosophies of education. He was a walking thesaurus, and he gave a definition of the word university, and it was diversity in oneness. Now, all of a sudden, this small smattering of students encouraged by outsiders are somehow suggesting that a particular group is not part of the oneness. We've lost our way. We've lost our understanding. So many of the leaders of this country I'm hesitating because I'm not a judge. But boy, oh boy, they have not set their affections on things above, and therefore we should give no credence to what they say. Our own money declares in that seal, Great Seal of the United States, E pluribus unum. What? Are you talking in tongues, Don? No, I'm speaking Latin. What does that mean? It means out of many, one. There's another phrase in there, wherein it says, in Latin, a new order of ages. With the United States of America, it changed. The king was no longer law. The law became king. And we are flushing that understanding that changed, that brought new light to the world. We're flushing that understanding down the toilet. If ye be in Christ, be in Christ, not part of this world. Let not the chaos of this world trouble your heart, set your affection on things above. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. The Thessalonian letter says, in everything give thanks to God. For this is his will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Take that personally, whoever the you out there are. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, unmerited favor, the understanding of unmerited favor in your hearts to the Lord. I'd like to go to a few scriptures to hammer that verse home. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We go first to the Old Testament in Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. 16th verse says, excuse me, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Romans 8:1 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16th verse says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the word church, folks. I'm not going to go into the etymology of that word in the English church, but it speaks of those who belong to the Lord shall be my people. In 2 Timothy, first chapter, says, when I call a remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also that good thing which was committed unto thee, it says in the 14th verse, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in you. And shall continue to dwell in you as we continue, as we started. The Hebrews letter gives us that encouragement of the third chapter in the 14th verse. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, our title deed, our hypostasis, our right to grab hold of the promises of God, because all the promises of God are in him, that is, in Jesus, yea, and in him, amen, that is, no doubt. And we, before the foundations of the world, were chosen by God for himself in Christ. God's doing the work, folks. In Christ, he's done the work. We just need to hold fast that confidence that we had in the beginning. Steadfast unto the end. We are hid with Christ in God, the richness of the Word of God that does dwell in us. We need to continue to hold fast and to stay in the Word that dwelleth in you. And just one more admonition to those who are living in the flesh, living by the things that they see. Proverbs 6, 16th verse says, these things does the Lord hate, yea. Seven, these six things does the Lord hate, yea. Seventh, are an abomination unto him. What are the six? A proud look, lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet to be swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. What's the seventh? He that soweth discord among the brethren. There is no discord in the Word of God taught aright. Pray for me that I might continue to rightly dividing the Word of God in the hope that those who hear might continue in the gift of faith from God. And that's the God School for today.